This is episode number 31 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of June 23rd, 2008.
You're the toughest, craziest, most hardcore badass on the planet. You're the shit.
Coming up in this week's episode, we've got our current distractions, gaming news. For our feature this week, we talk a little bit about what we thought of Metal Gear Solid 4. Okay, we talk a lot a bit about it. So much we actually break it into two shows. We also have a very uninspired new releases and listener email, not to mention the legendary question of the week. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 31. Ooh, my name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
What's happening?
And we're going to talk about some Metal Gear today.
Hell yeah, we are.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
But before we get into that, we have a first part to get through. So we're gonna try and get through that first part real fast, so you guys don't have to. You can listen to Metal Gear instead of us talking about crap we've been playing that shit. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good, actually. My son actually, he just kind of showed up at the airport one day. It was amazing. So I went and picked him up and brought him home, and he's gonna be here for a couple months.
Oh, really?
Cool. I get that whole, you know, he stays at my place for the summer business. So it works out nicely.
Oh, very cool. Jeff,
how about you? Totally random. You didn't expect him to be there at the airport?
Totally just showed up. He's like, Dad.
I'm at the airport. Can you come pick me up?
I'm like, was I supposed to get you today?
What's that? Oh, shit. That means I have to stop drinking now? Okay.
Hell no. I'm drinking right now.
Nice.
So, Chris, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Been a productive week, but I'm not going to bore you guys with all the details. What really matters is that I told you guys that a tree fell down in my yard, right?
No, actually.
No?
I didn't know there was a tree in your backyard. That's what you share with us.
There's lots of trees in my backyard, actually. Well, one fell down and actually landed on my fence. Luckily, the fence is still standing. And yesterday, my buddy Ralph came over and we broke out the chainsaws and chopped the sucker up and finally put it out front. It's been down for like 2 weeks, so I was just happy to get that done with. That was my excitement for the week. And my exercise, good God, I was exhausted.
That was pretty exciting. I'm letting it soak in right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Nothing
like, holy shit.
That was the most exciting thing that happened to me this week. Pretty scary, huh?
Hey, use
I got some, I got some cool wedding stuff done. I don't think you guys want to hear about that, though.
No, not really.
No.
Jeff, how are things with you, man?
They're okay. Feeling a little under the weather today, but we're going to be talking about some Metal Gear.
You're hungover, aren't you?
A little bit. It's a little bit of a self-induced under the weather, but it was worth it. Buddy's birthday last night, so we all went out for dinner and then drank lots of beer. And
Wobbly Pops.
It's good times. Sorry? Wobbly Pops.
Wobbly Pops.
And then went to, it wasn't really this morning. It was probably about like noon. Me and my neighbor went to this place called Chimichanga's up the street. It's a Mexican restaurant. And they have these humongous burritos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time I ever finished one in like one sitting. And I think it did like a number on my stomach. So all day I've just been like, oh, God, kill me.
I think we actually have like three of those places here.
God damn, really? Enchiladas.
There's like Moe's and Willie's and Chipotle.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, we have a Moe's right down the street, too. It just opened up. I think we talked about that like a few months back.
Probably.
Welcome to Moe's!
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah. Other than that, that's about it, man. That's how I've been.
Cool. All right, well, let's jump right into it, then. Jason.
Jump.
Yeah.
What is distracting you this week?
Games again. Stupid Metal Gear Solid 4.
Game sucks.
Yeah. It's horrible. Worst game ever.
That's really the majority of my gameplay time has been with that. To play a little WoW again. I said last week that we were disbanding. Mm-hmm. Not so.
Really?
Callan's in town now, so he's going to pick up the warrior slot. We're still going to keep on keeping on. So
nice. For that.
Hell yeah.
Very cool.
I did, and following Chris's excellent instruction, I upgraded the hard drive on my PS3.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Which was not the smooth process, actually.
Because
I had to back up first. Yeah, I still had like, I don't know. The file itself was like 30 gig or something like that, the
Holy
backup
crap.
File. And I had a spare laptop hard drive, but it wasn't formatted FAT32. So I had to find a tool that did that, and I used like a boot CD to do it, but it was just a pain in the butt. But once it did get formatted properly, and I was able to back up, it's a very, very smooth process. Good stuff. The whole reason for this is because I want to set up a media server, or use it as like a media center, as it were.
You're going to ditch your chip to Xbox?
It doesn't have, the Xbox and the Xbox Media Center, as wonderful and astounding and amazing and magical as it is, it doesn't handle HD because the Xbox can't handle it.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Can't oh, I see. Do it. Yeah. So
makes sense.
I need an alternative. This is the next best thing. I've heard that the PS3, the GPU is still locked when you're in like an alternate OS like Linux. But there's ways around that. From what I'm told. So I'm gonna give
Were you running low on space to begin with, or?
Yeah, I was actually. I was down to, I think, like, like 5 gig or something like that.
And you have the 60, right?
Yeah, I got one of the 60s.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of music or videos?
I had like 7 gigs left. I don't know where where all my space went. Is there a way to tell? I was looking for it. I was looking for it like yesterday. I was trying to find where it's like a memory manager or something like that, and I couldn't find it. I didn't look too hard, really.
Yeah.
No?
Hmm. It's the demos, because all the demos that I deleted were all like 1.5 gig. I'm like, damn, it's huge, dude.
Yeah, it's for demos and stuff. After I play it, if the game's out and I buy it, then I delete it. If it's a demo, I think I'll play again. I'll keep it, but usually I play them once or twice and then I delete them.
I'm a collection whore, so I still had like Devil May Cry on there, and it's like I own that game on the 360. Yeah, I have it on here.
It's like, why do you need the demo?
That's like me too. I have a crap load of videos too. I'm like, why do I watch these videos that are over a year old and I already have the game that the video is about?
Mm-hmm. But I was worried about my game saves, actually. So I tried backing them up to like a USB stick or whatever. And there's some game files that you can't back up for whatever reason. I don't understand why. Like my Rock Band game save. It just says that you cannot copy this. I'm like, what the fuck? Why not? I don't get it. So. But as it turns out, when I did the backup, it backed up everything. Demos, videos, game saves. And then when I restored, everything was there. So I was in good shape. That was my only, my heart's beating through palpitations. I was worried. I was really worried. I'm like, shit, I'm going to lose my Metal Gear Solid stuff.
Oh, I would cry.
That would be bad.
We're good, though. But that's been my week.
Cool. Yeah, it seems like there's like this drive swap frenzy going on, because all of a sudden there's like on that post that I have on VG Evo, there's like 5 or 6 new posts there. And
yeah, just like all of a sudden.
Our buddy Razor used it, and he sent me an email, and he actually posted on the topic. And then our buddy John did it, and then out of the blue, there were like 2 more people that just logged on and decided to reply to the thread. So
yeah, so I thank you for that. Also, thanks for the warning about the screws stripping, the ones that
those things are a pain in the ass.
I knew that ahead of time, and I still stripped one of them. I'm
like, yeah, I did too.
Bitch, I had to get a little needle nose pliers to get it out of there.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you got it out.
Yeah, it's fine.
Sexual innuendo. We need that soundbite, Jason.
Yeah,
we need
it. Awesome.
Working on it. Working on it.
Well, cool. Jeff, go for it.
Not too much playing of anything, except for, of course, Metal Gear. Finish that. I'll talk more about that later. I actually picked up Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops for the PSP.
Oh,
and
cool.
Maybe played it for about 10 minutes, not even. I just want to see what it was like. Sorry? Same here, did you say?
Hey, same here, yeah. I played it less than an hour.
I didn't even play it an hour. I played it to, we got to move, and then I was good. I literally,
You like loaded up and you're like, God, can't I fucking save yet? Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to move less than an hour into the game?
It's weird. I can say I'm kind of surprised. I didn't realize the cutscenes were all like kind of comic style.
They're cool, aren't they?
Yeah, they're cool, but I kind of didn't want that. I don't know why. Yeah, I wanted to see them have like kind of cinematic experience on the PSP, but I can see why they did it, to like probably save memory and stuff in space, but it looks cool. It looks really good. I'm going to I will try to play through the whole thing. I just wasn't in I was heading out, so I couldn't really play it for too long. But I'm just glad
it wasn't like codec sequences the entire way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't even put it in mine yet.
Quick side jump. Did you play the graphic novel? Do you have that? Have you tried that out?
No.
That is really cool. It's kind of in the same style as the, the cutscene animated static images. You know what I mean? Exactly what you saw in Portable Ops. Same kind of deal. Anyway.
Cool.
Done with my tangent.
One thing I did want to comment on is just the camera. It's not that great on the PSP, and I wish they kind of went the old style Metal Gear. They should have just kept like 2 and 1, just have the kind of set camera. Even though it wasn't the best camera in the world, it worked for that type of game. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was annoying. But yeah, I'll get used to it. What else? That's about it, really. That's, I think, everything I've played.
Wow.
I played the Ninja Gaiden 2 demo. Actually, I played that.
Oh, what'd you think?
And it was like, meh. It's Ninja Gaiden with new levels and creatures and weapons.
That sounds familiar, Jason. Didn't you have the same response?
Yeah, same deal. Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't get anything new out of it. I wasn't really impressed. I don't know.
No, but I had the game
mount it on GameFly, and that showed up, but it's still sitting in the envelope.
Because I actually did have a pre-order down for Ninja Gaiden 2, and then I played the demo, and then I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick it up. I just don't think it's worth a purchase if you've played like Sigma Black, unless you're like you're not getting anything new. If you love the series, then go for it. I just had too much on my plate already. I knew if I bought it would just put something else on the back burner, and so I'm going to rent it later.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. I still haven't even downloaded the demo just because I've been playing so much stuff on my PS3 at this point that I haven't turned on my 360 in a while.
Yeah, so neither have I really. It is true.
Cool.
What about you? What about you, Chris? What are you playing? Anything else besides Ninja? Besides Ninja Gaiden? Besides Metal Gear?
Well, Metal Gear Solid 4 has been taking up the majority of my week, but I did get to squeeze some other stuff in, like a little PSU, but I won't go into detail.
Yay!
Oh shit!
The fans rejoice.
What? I forgot something. No, I played Metal Gear Online.
Oh, did you?
Totally forgot about that. Yeah, maybe I'll touch on it later, though. Anyway,
cool.
All right.
Go ahead. For PSP, I played a little bit more Crisis Core. And yesterday, I picked up Space Invaders Extreme, is totally worth the $20 purchase.
Hell yes.
Really?
I am so enjoying it. It's not like it's anything spectacularly new or anything like that, but it's like, take Space Invaders and mix it with Luminous.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's kind of, it's Space Invaders and you're shooting all of the fuckers, but
creatures, yeah.
You know, the music the music is being augmented by, firing and blowing guys up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there's all these like trippy effects going on in the background, and you get all kinds of new weapons and stuff. There's like 3 different power-ups that you can get. There's like a laser, a bomb, and this like spread weapon, and it's Space Invaders with some really cool new features to it. And, cool. It's definitely worth the purchase.
Would it be kind of like the equivalent of, like, say, Pac-Man Championship Edition?
I don't know. Was the music time? See, the biggest draw for me, I played the Japanese demo, but the biggest draw was that all the shots and the sound effects seemed to be woven into the music itself.
Right. They were directly integrated into the music.
Right. And that was completely immersive to me. I don't know if Pac-Man CD did that, though.
No. I just mean, like, in terms of, like, you know how that basically rejuvenated Pac-Man? It got a bunch of people playing Pac-Man again. Do you think this will do the same thing for Space Invaders?
Where you got kind of like it should. The remix tracks.
I think it should.
Stuff. Yeah. And it's the same kind of visual remix as well. You know, you've got the the crazy rainbow particle effects jumping around on screen. It's really neat. Yeah. So in that respect, definitely like Pac-Man CE.
Cool.
Yeah. Definitely worth the $20. I also broke down after hearing everybody and their mother talking about it. I bought Boom Blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I haven't gotten a chance to put too much time into it, mainly because, Metal Gear. But, what I played of it, Crystal and I played a little bit of multiplayer, and that was kind of fun. And then I played some of the single player, and I can definitely get that feeling that you guys were talking about where it's like, all right, I'm going to try one more time, try and get that goal, And I can definitely see the addictive quality in that. So I'm looking forward to putting more time into that game.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah. It is addicting for sure.
It is. But yeah, that's it. That was my week.
Nice.
Nice
and
short
week, eh?
Mm-hmm. Good to keep things short when we're trying to get to our feature.
That's right.
Shit to do.
Let's excited.
So next up is news.
News, Jeff, okay.
We got some news. Jeff Shorning.
Yay. Brought to you by Gatorade. I'm drinking Gatorade. Gatorade rain.
Did you say Ninja Gaiden Gatorade? That would be awesome.
No, I could have.
Okay.
Are you, next time. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm going back to my
okay. First up, big news for PS3 fans, something we've been waiting for forever. The new firmware, 2.40, will have the in-game XMB and as well as the trophies added to the PS3 games. So, yay, finally. When it's coming out, no one knows. I mean,
thank you, Hideo Kojima.
Said soon. Yes, yeah. He probably got that. He had a say in that. Because he actually wanted that out before Metal Gear came out. So
I can't say right. I blame him.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I got 3 messages about MGO while I was playing single player, but, you know, I can't stop and check my messages, you know, while I'm playing the game.
Exactly.
Pain in the ass. Yeah, I'm really glad that they're finally putting it out, but my only worry is right now they just went from 2.35 to 2.36. Mm-hmm. So there's a few more numbers in there. And I'm afraid we're going to get more of those numbers before we get to 2.4.
It is possible because they didn't say they're going to jump right to it. And they didn't say it was going to be the next firmware. They said in 2.40. Yeah. That's what have it.
Okay.
But they did say soon. They'll have news soon. So hopefully it'll be exactly that soon.
Jeez. Hopefully. They're more cynical than I am. Jeez.
Scary thought, isn't it?
It is. We might actually, this might actually become a reality this year.
Hopefully.
With Metal Gear being the theme today, Ryan Payton was in a recent interview said that there's definitely a possibility for Metal Gear Solid 5. He said that a lot of people were kind of misconstrued about what was said when Hideo Kojima said that Metal Gear Solid 4 would be the last in the series, that he didn't mean that was going to be the last Metal Gear game. He simply said that was going to be the last in Snake's era kind of thing. So he didn't say anything was in the works or anything was definitely planned, but he said if there was another Metal Gear game, there's still a lot of room to go in terms of big bosses, sections, and so forth. I was actually disappointed when I heard this because I want to keep going with Metal Gear games, but I don't want them to be based on almost anyone that
pre-existing characters,
like, pre-existing character, anything like that. Just because, especially because Big Boss is Solid Snake, like the same exact character, basically in terms of gameplay and voice and everything. If anyone, I would rather them to do a Raiden spinoff, but I think that'd be awesome. But so all you Metal Gear fans, don't start crying after you beat Metal Gear Solid 4. Unless you're crying at the ending. We'll get to that later. But, yeah.
See, I don't... stuff. I just don't want them to add anything else to this story arc, you know? Mm-hmm. Between, Metal Gear Solid 3 was the first in the arc, technically, in a chronological sense, and 4 is the last one, and they should just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a lot of it. 4 pieced everything together, and I don't want to see something drop in the middle of this arc that 4 has no... no information about, and just, it'll mix things up more. And I'd rather not see that. So I'm with you. I'd rather them just like start up a new story arc altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty awesome. And if that was, say they were to make a Metal Gear Solid 5, ESRB would no longer be able to leak this out early as they have been in the past, because they have come out and said they're going to stop these early leaks. They're going to let publishers now submit their games with basically an embargo date. Say, listen, here's our game. It's not you cannot release any information about this game until this date, because ESRB, what they're doing is they're getting the games, whatever, not the games themselves, but they have to submit saying this is going to be the game, whatever. They come out later, 30 days after it's, I guess, the ESRB says it, or sorry, views it. Then they go on and basically say this game's going to be available or whatnot, or this is going to, the rating's going to be somewhere around here. And that, that was the reason why people found out about the new DS Castlevania, which really wasn't a big surprise, and other games and so forth. So that's cool. So publishers now have that that ability. But the ESRB did come out and say if the publishers don't directly say, do not release this information until this date, they're still going to go with what they've been doing now. And 30 days after they review it, they'll throw it up on their list.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool though. Every once in a while, something leaks out there and everyone would be like, oh, it's ESRB. It's not for sure. But every single one that came out, it came true.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to look at these too.
Pretty consistent.
Yep. So no more leaks. Boo.
Boo.
Yeah. Rumors started early last week, Resident Evil 5. Apparently, Microsoft's going to throw a crap load of money towards Capcom to get it timed exclusive. A representative at Capcom came out and said, nope, it's not a timed exclusive. It's still a multi-platform and simultaneous release.
Good.
Of course, still no date. So that's good. So the Sony 3 people out there don't have to get too PS3 people don't have to get too mad, and all you 360 fans can stop writing in forums, haha, we's the best. We got Resident Evil 5.
We's the best.
So enough of that, and everyone can enjoy that game when it comes out.
Good.
Sometime next year.
Excellent.
Another pretty big surprise, Resistance 2 beta keys are going to be in the next issue of GamePro, so I'm guessing that'll be the August issue, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That'll give everyone out there a reason to finally buy a GamePro
magazine. I was about to lead into that. It's like, why GamePro? It's like, I mean, what the hell?
And speaking of throwing money at somebody, that's definitely going to sell issues. I know I'm going to buy that issue of GamePro simply for that.
Well, I don't think that they said that it's going to come included automatically. Like, they were going to announce some more details in that issue, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. But it's going to be linked directly to GamePro, though.
Right.
They're talking about beta keys, whatnot, so.
They're probably going to have an open beta at some point.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
Like a week after the GamePro deal. We'll see.
Exactly. So Resistance fans and anyone who has PS3 and didn't check out the first Resistance, this is your opportunity to try Resistance 2. So go buy your GamePro. Yay.
Say hi to Scary Larry.
Oh, man. I haven't read that magazine in so long. Actually, I think that was the first game magazine I ever read when I was like a kid.
Well, when I was a kid and I went out to California, I mentioned this before, but I actually went out to tour GamePro.
This
is how much of a geek I was. Yeah, I was huge into GamePro for whatever reason. I don't know, but I went to their office and I went up to like the 8th floor or whatever the hell they were, and I went up to the receptionist. Mm-hmm. It's like, hi, I'm in college right now and I'm studying journalism. I was wondering if I can get a tour of your offices, you know, just to see if this is the industry that I want to work in. So, so one of the dudes, Chris Stoddard, actually came out, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever because this dude walked out, and it's an extremely like professional environment around there, just in the receptionist mm-hmm. area. But this guy came out in like, you know, Bermuda shorts, Hawaiian shirts, you know, just completely casual. I'm like, hell yeah, this is so cool. So he walked me through and stuff. But that's my little geek moment. That's my story.
Nice.
All right. Sounds fun. But we have to move on. Guitar Hero 3 tracks working. Guitar Hero 3 tracks. People were worried that people who downloaded those Guitar Hero 3 tracks to Guitar Hero 3, mm-hmm. will they work with Guitar Hero 4 World Tour? Because apparently they're not going to work with the new Aerosmith. I wouldn't want to say expansion. I guess it is an expansion, but you have to go out and buy the disc. But apparently those tracks won't work with Aerosmith. Pardon me, but they will indeed work with Guitar Hero World Tour when that comes out. So no need to worry there. So all those four songs you downloaded on Guitar Hero 3 since it's released will all work.
Four of them.
Yep.
Or none. I mean, I was so excited about getting the Foo Fighters one, and I never did.
Yeah, no.
I just don't think it's worth it. I don't know.
It seems like we have like a... I feel like the last little bits of news have been like a reassuring types of news, you know, like Resident Evil 5 not is being multi-platform. ESRB not leaking anything. Guitar Hero 3 tracks working.
I'm happy. Another story I'm sick here. Of this happy shit. Let's
Go to something this else. Is still another happy one. I think this one you might actually be more inclined to agree with or relate to here, because we all love the game Okami, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And
it's a great game.
We've all played that on PS2, and unfortunately, something big happened a couple months ago. It was released on the Wii. And there's that whole cover issue with IGN, and they had a little IGN logo. Oh, if you looked really closely, remember,
God.
It was like a little watermark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you wanted to, you could just send an email or to Capcom and basically be like, hey, listen, this is really bothering me. I can't sleep with this cover staring at me in my face, knowing it has the IGN label on it somewhere that I haven't seen yet. They'll send you new covers. So this is a few months ago.
Really?
So I know you guys both did that, and you're waiting patiently, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good news is they just started shipping those out.
Finally.
So, finally.
When can I expect it?
I don't know.
That's not the point, Chris.
I'd say the usual, 3 to 6 weeks, 4 to 8 weeks.
Well, all right. I'm going to be watching my mailbox, man.
You should run out there every day after school or work.
After school.
After school. From done mowing the lawns.
Exactly. When you're mowing the lawn to make that extra money, you know, shoveling the driveway.
I used to, buy Okami and a Wii. Yeah.
You will finally get your new Okami cover without the IGN watermark on there. So we can all, rest peacefully and sleep well at night.
I'm going to scan it and print it and put it on my wall or in my locker. There we go.
Yeah. What do you think about that one, Chris?
Pretty sure it gets ranked up there with the
Who gives a shit? I got to call bullshit on the who gives a shit. This is cool. This is cool that they actually stepped up and said, okay, we'll replace your stuff and we'll actually make it a double-sided cover.
No, that's cool, but I mean, really, who gives a shit?
it's
cool they stepped up and are doing this, but I mean, seriously, are you gonna?
I would can't have been, live with if, this box.
If I actually did spend all my lawn mowing money on Okami, I would have written them and said, hey, give me a new cover because it's free.
So, okay, we'll take away. It's a Jason gives a shit.
There you go.
All right. That's all the news. And Jason, your Okami thing's in the mail. So
sweet. Every day. I'm going to go check right now.
Good idea.
Did you even have Wii Okami?
No. No.
Then you officially
PS2,
give a shit.
I'm good.
All right.
I would. This is like a hypothetical Jason gives a shit.
I see.
All right.
Devil's advocate. I understand.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Cool.
Yep.
I know.
That's what we're all here for.
That's
all right.
True.
Well, now we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we can talk about Metal Gear.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Which is the entire point of this, right?
This whole podcast thing? Yeah. It's the entire point of the podcast. We've been doing 30 plus episodes just to get to this point.
That's right.
This is our last episode, by the way, folks.
Ever.
We don't need to play games ever again.
All right. So when we come back, we will talk about Metal Gear. We'll talk about the long new release list we've got, and question of the week, and emails, and all that other good stuff. So stay tuned.
Damn. And cool. We're jam-packed with stuff.
All kinds of crap.
I'm going to go check my mailbox.
Yeah, I'm going to. It's time to wake up.
Hold it, Snake. Time to change the disc. I know, it's a pain. But you need to swap disc 1 for disc 2. You see the disc labeled 2?
No.
Huh? Oh, wait. We're on PlayStation 3. It's a Blu-ray disc. Dual layered, too. No need to swap.
Damn it, Otacon. Get a grip.
Yeah, what an age we live in, huh, Snake? Wonder what they'll think of next.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You guys feel better? Are you guys ready for Metal Gear?
Oh, yeah.
Always ready.
We should probably preface this and say that we're going to start off with like a general overview of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Right.
But after that, we're going into full spoiler mode.
Full spoilers.
We will warn you guys before we hit spoiler mode. So if you have not played this game and you don't want to be spoiled, I don't want to have anything spoiled for you, and believe me, you don't, because the game's awesome.
All right. Well, let me actually interject here for a second. I have a special guest with us who wants to give like a brief overview of the game. The special guest being my son.
Aww.
The fruit of my loins.
How cute.
Callan. So, Callan, you've started playing the game, right?
Yeah, for like 20 minutes.
For like 20 minutes so far? I thought you were done.
No.
That's been like your main objective since you got here. What have you been doing with all your time? You've been playing WoW, haven't you?
Maybe.
Why do you play WoW all the time? Where do you learn how to do this stuff?
It's you, all right. Learn it by watching you.
Whoa. Okay. I think he's really mad.
That's a bit awkward.
Way to go, Jason.
Well,
That's a real downer. I don't want to do the rest of the show. Yeah, we're done.
I don't know if we should continue.
Good night. We're going to skip MGS all the way.
It wasn't just the awesome storyline or the awesome gameplay. I actually wanted him, because he's going into high school this next year. I wanted to learn some like CQC before going in.
That's important.
You know what I like?
Yeah, I think he's really mad.
Jeff, you know what I really like?
What?
Is that Jason lets his kid play MGS4, but he doesn't let him listen to our podcast.
True that. He's actually like, what are you doing in here with that microphone?
That's funny.
All right. So.
But I will admit, Metal Gear Solid 4 is a lot better than our podcast.
What's that?
I said Metal Gear Solid 4 is a lot better than our podcast. So I can see why.
Yeah, but that's not saying much. That's most true. Of the games on our release list this year, this week might be... Oh, well, maybe not.
Wouldn't go that far.
Cool. Well, Jason, why don't we... I know we got some emails, so why don't we get those knocked out, and then we can just jump right in.
The emails. Yes, we do have some emails. Chris, thanks for reminding me. Here they are. Anyway, first one is from Aces High, and he says... the simple answer is Metal Gear Solid 4 is the best game ever. The more in-depth answer is really hard to explain, but I'll try. Emotion. Something big.
Emotion.
Emotion. Something that games have been trying to get us to feel for quite a long time. Some successful and some not so much. I'm not sure about everyone else, but there has been no other game to ever get an emotional response out of me. Metal Gear Solid 4 was the first, and I think is something very commendable. Maybe it was from building a relationship with the characters for three other games, but at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, no spoilers, I actually shed a couple of tears and was emotionally distraught in the sense that I knew that I had just finished it and I just wanted to go on a walk and think about the entirety of the story afterwards. This lasted for about an hour after I'd finished the game. Any game, not just Metal Gear Solid 4, that can make me feel that way that I did is as close to perfect as you can get, in my opinion. Metal Gear Solid 4 just did it first, and that's why it is the best game ever made. Sorry for the wall of text. Aces High. Thank you, sir.
Wow.
Gracias.
That's quite an email.
That's quite the statement.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement.
Best. But game and, ever but
it's,
made.
It's a lot of people are saying that, though. You know, yeah. It's not just him.
That's true. Yeah. I got someone else who might say something like that, too. His name's Adam. He says, hello, Windows crew. I apologize beforehand if I come across as a frothing MGS fanboy, but even with all the hype and anticipation, this game is surpassing my expectations. It really seems like Kojima poured his heart and his soul into this game, which is as cinematic and emotional as any game can be.
Emotion.
I'm nearing the end of Act 2, and I can't help but feel a sense of sadness as I play through Solid Snake's last days. The game strikes an excellent balance between narrative, gameplay, and technical execution. I'm really looking forward to finishing the game, and really not looking forward to how I'm going to view other video games when I've finished MGS4. Signed, Adam. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Adam.
There's a lot of build-up in the games.
What's that?
There's a lot of build-up in the games, you know. This does feel like a finale.
It does, definitely.
It definitely does. And it's nice that they have this, you know, Kojima did pour his heart and his soul, and I think everything he could possibly think of to try and piece all these games together. And he did a good job.
I heard a lot of stories on how he did stuff like Zero Hour, like right before they went gold. He's like, oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. And everyone's like... Dude, we're going to press this thing like
6 months soon. Later.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry, we got to get it done.
There's one part in, you know, specifically that stands out in my head that it feels like it's not finished, but we'll get to that when we talk more at the spoiler part.
Oh, really?
But, I want to see if you guys agree with me at that point. So, you know, just a little foreshadowing. I want to talk about that.
Cool. That's the biggest word I've ever heard you say. Foreshadowing. Okay.
All right. You're a bastard.
By the way, okay. I'm burning through these emails because they're all kind of similar. You know, they're all like, man,
they're like
MGS
best game ever.
Great.
They're all dry humping metal.
Yeah, best game ever.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Just as which one, Rex or Ray?
In a bit. This one is from this email. It's from CK, Chibi Knight.
Oh.
It says, hello and welcome to the PO cast. Wait, shit. Sorry about that. Playing Metal Gear Solid 4 got me all nostalgic, and I was just thinking of an old PO cast Jason and Chris were on. But anywho, what's up, Indus crew? Like your place here, although the couch is a bit Canadian. But hey, whatever.
It is.
So yeah, CK here from the previously mentioned PocketOtaku.com and recently new to VG Evo, ready to answer your QOTW MGS BBQ, WTF, pew pew pew. I think a little overboard. Pew pew pew. Pew pew, like lasers.
Pew pew pew.
Pew pew pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
What did I think of Metal Gear Solid 4? The game is the sole reason the PS3 was created. Seriously, the game is the whole package. Visuals, sound, playability, replayability, storytelling, old boobs, young boobs, armored boobs. Man, I'm sure I could go on, but your show is long enough as it is. So, moving on. Ouch. I can't go into detail about the key parts that I really liked because Chino probably hasn't finished it yet. But the game made me laugh, made me cry. I'm man enough to admit it, damn it. And the way they brought everything back from the older games in a nice 20-plus hour package game doesn't really do it justice. Yeah, that'll work. Just made it all that much more awesome. I mean, come on. If you didn't pop a Metal Gear Solid, in quotes, in your pants, girls are excluded, although I could make a joke about something liquid. But I digress. Metal Gear Solid in the pants while playing Act 4, then, well, you probably didn't play Metal Gear Solid 1. So, go do it now. Exclamation point. I also enjoyed the fact that it wasn't too long or too short, which is good for us old gamers like Chris. Metal Gear Solid 4 actually made me feel like a gamer again.
Zing.
Got it on a Thursday and beat it on a Sunday. Good times. Is it the best game ever? Probably not, but it was worth the $60. Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember paying $100 for Phantasy Star 4 in the Genesis. Woot. Phantasy Star reference, even in a MGS QOTW. I can still sneak it in there. Get it? Sneak? Lol. Take that, Jeff.
Well played.
And,
well played,
and would have probably paid that for MGS4. It's just that good. But thank you for not charging me that. I'm Poe and stuff. Everyone who has a PS3 should at least rent this game. You owe it to your system, and it'll be so grateful. It'll let you have in-game XMB and some kind of achievement system. What a deal, right? So there you go, Indus. Hope this letter brightened your day a little bit, and brightened your day a little bit, like a hug from Chuck's mom, maybe. Oh, and Chris, you're never getting that day. Star Wars fight tape now.
Damn you!
Mwah-ha-ha later, CK.
Okay, I need to interject twice.
Yes.
Why?
First.
Yes, you beat the game.
You bastard. I was the first of the three of us to beat the game, so shut the hell up. second, you're still 2 weeks older than me, you fucker.
That's true. Ooh, burn. All right, what's this business about him not giving up the Star Wars tapes? We really need those.
Yeah, he never will.
The lightsaber battle between you and him.
They need to be shown.
I don't care how, you know, geeky or nerdy or whatever word you want to call it. I don't care what anybody thinks because they're fucking awesome. You know, I mean, he actually went through and put in all the effects and everything, and it was great. Okay, off topic. Go ahead.
And that is off topic. Anyway, thank you, CK. He's one of our good buddies in real life.
Yeah, he's been listening since episode one, and this is the first time he's emailed us.
Bastard. Slow-ass mofo. Anyway, this is from Dizzy. They're one of our favorites.
The Diz.
He says, oh, my God. It's the best game ever made. No questions. It's incredible. There really isn't much to say from me. I've been speechless when it comes to this game for a week. I'm now going to play the other games in order as prequels. Smiley face. The main problem is the game has ruined every other game for me. I can't play a game without comparing its graphics, controls, storytelling, animation, etc. unfavorably with Metal Gear Solid 4. That is all. Disneyator Sparkle out. Chooch? I don't know what the hell that is.
Do we have any Metal Gear Dizzy. Hate?
Chooch.
Anyone?
No. What? We didn't get any, I don't think.
I'm looking through here. I don't see anything. Thank you, Disneyator. Moving right along. I think this is the last one. Let me double check. It is. This is from Black Skimmer, also known as Skimmer or Folix. Okay, got to make this quick since my kids are starting to go nuts. They want to go outside, and it's only 7 a.m. Wife is still sleeping, of course. First off, I just want to say I finally managed to connect to the Warcraft Wednesday server. Go figure. And I finally gave you all a chance to slap my chunkies around. Anyway, on to Metal Gear Solid. Number one, graphics. These are the best on the PS3. Probably the best on any platform right now. The lighting is freaking amazing. The game loses style and is one of those games that is just a squint away from looking completely real. The character models are downright impressive in every way. Number two, I'm only about halfway through Act 3, and so far, it's given Metal Gear Solid 1 a run for its money in every way possible. And I do have the feeling that it will be better, story-wise, when Metal Gear Solid, better than Metal Gear Solid, which I hold as the best Metal Gear yet. So yeah, best ever. Number 3, best game ever? Story-wise, yes. It's better than the holy grail of Final Fantasy VII. There, I said it, it's better. If it can keep up the pace, from what I hear, it only gets better from Act 3 on, then yeah, it becomes the best game ever. All right, one quick add-on here. The story is a very realistic one. It has real-world implications. It's a very serious, albeit far-off, look at PMC organizations. It makes you think. And before you dismiss this as a game that has monkeys drinking Pepsi and arms being grafted onto other people and taking over their bodies, those are entertainment injections into the game. No one disputed BioShock's message on man's attempt on utopia. For some reason, everyone overlooked that you can control bees by injecting your arms like a crack addict. This is what the future of gaming will hopefully be. My fear is that it might set the bar almost too high for most games right now. Is the world ready for games that tackle real-world political issues? All indications indicate yes. We need games to grow up a little. Video games have a chance to become the media standard, and we can't get there with crap like Super Mario number 567, or yet another version of Pong, this time with motion control. All in all, it's my Game of the Year, GOTY, or GOTF, which I assume is Game of the
Forever.
Fucking Forever.
Yeah, Game of the Year. Game of
great
the Forever.
Podcast, guys. Keep it up. Skimmer.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. So everyone seems to think this is the best game ever.
Seems that way.
Is it?
No.
In short, no. Okay, thanks for tuning in. Yeah,
thanks for playing.
And that's it.
First
impressions for everyone? What are they?
My first impression was that fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That in short, it's absolutely fucking amazing.
I agree too.
It far exceeded my expectations. I mean, which were already high to begin with. I'm a huge fan of the series in general, and you know, I didn't think that it could be improved as far as, you know, the storyline wise, you know, the way that it immerses you. But I don't know. It's gone above and beyond everything that I wanted. Cancer in spades, Mr. Kojima. I love you. I'm done wanking off though. I'll get critical here in a minute.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that honestly, I was not that excited about this game at first. Until, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, Jason was asking me, hey, you want to go to midnight release? And at first I was kind of like, you know, not really, whatever. I'm not really, you know, dying to get my hands on the game. After I started it, that's all I could think about. I was like, I want to go home and play Metal Gear. I mean, that's what I wanted to do all the time. So, I mean, it far, far exceeded my expectations. It now has me wanting to go back and play all of them again.
Yeah.
Just to see exactly how they linked everything up. And I've said it a couple of times. I mean, this may very well be the best game I've ever played.
Mm-hmm. That's a bold statement.
It is a bold statement, very bold. Especially in considering how I hold Symphony of the Night in such high regard.
Right.
So.
You are just a Konami fanboy, aren't you?
I am a Konami fanboy. Remember when we did favorite companies? Konami was my favorite company.
There you go.
It was.
Jeff, nice. Talk to us.
First impressions, little while through the game, I thought it was like the best thing ever, best game. I had high expectations going into it, but not super high because I'm not a super huge fan of the franchise. But like Chris, after completing it, even though I did go through and play one again, got most of the way through two, somewhat through three, it still makes me want to go back and play them through again, just for shits and giggles, really.
Yeah.
Because like, I think it got me kind of a new respect for his games and the way they play out. Yeah, graphics are the first thing. I thought they were unbelievable. It's the best looking character models I've ever seen in a video game. That's like for sure. Like there's no, yeah, it looks like there's no aliasing issues at all. When I'm watching those cutscenes and even when you're playing, like I don't see any aliasing at all. Like in the characters, I think there's a lot of problems in the background textures. I think because the character models are so good, sometimes I'm looking at the cinematics, I'm like, what the hell is that in the background? Oh, it's what are the microwaves? Is that a picture? What is that? And there are definitely issues there. Yeah, like on the ship. And I was just like, yeah, it looks gorgeous for sure. But it's first impressions, awesome. Like I thought it was gonna be like the best thing ever as well. Mm-hmm. Sound is awesome too.
That's sound definitely in this game something. Is yeah, that's phenomenal. That's noteworthy. Definitely. I'm so glad I have a surround sound system now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, you can probably explain this better than I can, but I was truly blown away by the sound design. And, I overheard Chris talking to someone earlier about this today, in that, if you hear an explosion in the distance, it sounds extremely faint, but, if it happens right next to you, it's right up in your face. So,
yeah.
And I experienced that same thing, it was completely immersive and it adds so much to the gameplay, when you have proper sound design like that.
Totally agree. I mean, it's the same idea, especially evident in the first act.
Yeah.
When you're in that war zone and there's explosions and gunfire and people yelling all over the place.
Everywhere.
And it uses the whole 5.1 surround system so well that you really do feel like you're immersed in the game. Mm-hmm. And, Jason was talking about, I was talking to someone that we know about the sound and how explosions you can hear them all around you and how faint they are and all that. And it's the same with like the rumble. It's, what they were talking about on like the One Up show a long time ago, like Shane was talking about where you can feel the direction that it's coming in. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. But if it's far in the distance, you can definitely tell the difference between an explosion that happens far in the distance compared to one that happens right next to you. Yeah. And, I know it's not the first game to do that. I mean, I know that they did that in the other Metal Gears also, but for some reason, I think it might be because of how well the sound design is, it feels different. At least it did to me. I don't know if it did for you guys, but I think it was partially because of the sound that it was so good that it just felt different with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Could be. What about control-wise? Really
control-wise, I think it's a big improvement, actually. And it's still a little clunky. I mean, I still have some issues when I'm fighting more than one person. I know that was talked about in like Penny Arcade, but I do agree to a certain extent. There is many times that I got surrounded or something like that, and you get knocked on your ass and you're trying to stand up and you're actually struggling to stand up or crouch or something like that. So when you're fighting multiple people, it's actually kind of clunky. I suppose in the end it just probably forced me to be a better,
be more careful.
Yeah, be more careful, I guess. But
more ninja like.
And in that respect, as far as, sneaking and, sniping and whatnot, absolutely wonderful. It felt intuitive. Like I said, it's an improvement over, previous controls. I love that.
I'm so happy they put in the ability to move in first person view. That is just
helps so much
with battles.
It does.
Especially when you're going to have like a big scale battles, which is like a first for a Metal Gear game. If they didn't put that in there, it would have changed the game completely for me. Just the fact that you could play the game in first person per se, but when you're, got those sights on your guns and you're looking through them, you can actually move side to side and strafe and, go forward and back. It just made the world a difference.
Strafe or
especially
strafe?
Fighting bosses.
I'm sorry.
Strafe, sorry. <That's
okay. laughs> I thought too.
it definitely failed. Yeah, it felt like a third person shooter.
Yeah.
Not a great one, but it felt like a third person shooter.
Exactly.
See, and that's the thing though. I mean, you have to at least to me, you have to understand that it feels like a good third person shooter at least. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the great thing about that is that's not what this game is designed to be.
Mm-hmm. No.
But they still did a great job with it. But one of the things that I changed as far as like the way I played the game, because I was running into the same type of issue that Jason was saying, where if you're fighting multiple guys and you get knocked down, you struggle to get up. Well, I just didn't get up. I would roll over and just shoot them from the ground. And the addition of that was huge. I mean, it made such a difference because it's you no longer like were a sitting duck while you were trying to get up. Now you could roll over on your back and point your gun and shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes a world of difference. What's that?
And I never did the rolls either. I didn't even know how to do the rolls. You guys know how to do the rolls? The triangle rolls?
Mm-hmm. Triangle.
Is it triangle?
Yeah, you just press it and he'll roll over. And if you want to roll.
Yeah, I mean like the continuous rolls, like when you roll like.
Oh, no.
I never know. That's with X, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, that's with X. If you're holding like a certain direction, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you like continuously press X.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never used that.
I never used that either. Because I didn't know how to do it.
So control is good. Did you have any problems with the camera?
No, but I didn't have any problems with the camera per se, but it's the one difference I think that separates the feel. Like I did feel this was a Metal Gear Solid game, but I felt it was a totally different strain of a kind of game. I felt because it went so third person based that I won't say it was a disappointment because I love the game tremendously, but it didn't feel, I never felt it had one of those, those moments in like Metal Gear 1 and 2 where you walk into a room and you see like on your radar where the guys positioned are and you got to kind of weave your way through this one room, take out the guys one at a time, because in like a puzzle kind of way, like I tried to describe the first Metal Gear and second is like kind of the same way. I just found it was more or less just like, third person shooter, you see a dude, all right, you either shoot him, you know, trank him or get behind him, choke him out or whatever, and then not even moving on to the next guy per se. It just felt like, I want to say easier, I guess, to tackle those situations where it's kind of like go in there with guns flaring or just go in there and just kind of do things your own way, which is really cool. But I kind of liked, that's what made Metal Gear games different than other third person shooters or other shooters per se that, or stealth games for that much, even Splinter Cell, is that it forced you to kind of take a stealth approach or at least try to.
Right.
And I don't know, this I just find more, it's like more instinct. It's like, okay, guy right there, I'm going to take him down. And I think that's more like the camera like than that. The type of the gameplay.
It seems to be more like 3 in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they changed the way that the radar worked so much, because with 1 and 2, yeah, it was kind of like a puzzle because you knew where the guys were and which direction they were facing,
yeah,
and all that stuff. And with 3, you don't. And with 4, you really don't. You know where they are, but you don't know what direction they're facing or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think that changed the gameplay of the game in general.
For sure. I think it changed it for the better overall, though.
Yeah,
I
would agree.
That's why a lot of people... Like people say it's been Americanized, and I guess that's kind of true. Or Westernized, if you will.
True. Well, I can't say that it made it easier. I mean, granted, you can see around corners and whatnot. I thought that the radar is actually, it's a dumbed down, you know, version of stealth, you know, because you can't see exactly which way they're facing and whatnot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because of the radar in this version, you can just kind of, you have an approximation of, you know, where they are, you know, that's, and that's if they're making noise. I think it forces you to be a little more stealthy in that fact because it's kind of unknown. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's true. Though I did have one problem with the camera, and it happened in Act 1, where you have to actually move into a building and you're in kind of a really concealed space. I had a little bit of trouble with the camera in there just because it didn't really know where it wanted to go. But after that, I mean, that was it. I didn't have any problems with the camera after that at all.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah,
cool.
They got that right.
What else we need to touch on?
I don't know. What do you guys think about
cutscenes?
Do you want to go to cutscenes? All right, we can go to cutscenes.
Were they too long?
Long. Very. I had no problem with them up until Act 3. From 3 on, I thought they were way too long. And I think it's because I was enjoying the gameplay so much that I actually wanted there to be more gameplay this time.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
A lot more.
I was completely enthralled the entire time through. I didn't have a problem with any of the cutscenes until the very end.
Yeah, but we'll get more into that.
Yeah. I just thought, the mission briefing ones were way too long. The ones in between the acts were just ridiculously long for no reason, I don't think. They're just trying to explain stuff and stuff that don't like really need to be explained, and they just kind of just dragged on. And then after that, you had to have like the introduction to that act, which would be another like 20 minutes long. And I don't know, I just felt like this is the first time in a Metal Gear game that actually felt like anxious. I was actually almost a one time compelled to hit start and skip it just because I wanted to play the actual game. Yeah, I've never done that before with a game ever with cinematics.
And are you talking about the mission briefings or?
Yeah, the missing briefings, and there's this isn't a spoiler or anything, but when you beat any of the bosses, you know how you have Drebin comes in, he'll call you and tell you the whole backstory, but first one I listened to, I'm like, oh my god, these are too long. I skipped everyone after that. I'm like, I don't care, because they don't have a direct relationship to anyone really in the game. It's just like their own backstory to how they became fucked up.
Yeah, and they're all pretty similar. They're there if you want them. Not plot specific, so.
Mm. I like they're really nice cinematics, very well acted and very well done, animated and everything.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you how many "oh my fucking god" moments I had during that game. You know, Lisa, my wife, actually, she sat down with me and, you know, bore witness to the entire game with me, and you know, she was just as excited as I was. It's just amazing. I can't even recall how many times we actually looked at each other and said, "Holy shit, that was cool." Like, as it's happening, it's like, wow. The game is just epic as far as, you know, the cinematic experience is concerned.
Yeah, for sure. And Crystal was the same way for me, because it actually got to the point where I was close to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally if I wake up before her and I come downstairs and I'll play something or something like that, and she says to me, she goes, "You can't beat this game until I can watch." So, and that's, you know, it's the first time that she's ever done anything like that. So,
Tanya had the exact opposite effect. She was saying, "When are you actually going to get to play the game?" She always like fall asleep during the cutscenes, stuff like that. It was pretty funny. But yeah, it's not a knock on the cutscene so much as it just shows how much I love the gameplay of Metal Gear Solid to actually consider not skipping the cutscenes, but actually be thinking, okay, this is going a little bit too long. Even though I'm enjoying them and I think they're really well done, I was like, I just want to play, damn it. I really want to play. Yeah. It's so cool. So badass. So it's more a testament to the gameplay and how much I liked it as opposed to how long the cutscenes were, in my
opinion. Cool. Right. Yeah, I agree. The gameplay was fantastic.
The gameplay is absolutely fantastic. It's an improvement and everything. However, I think in this one, it took even more of a backseat to cinematics than any other game.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I think there was more dialogue, more cutscenes in this one than any other one. And luckily,
especially
the cutscenes
and
cinematics were so strong to keep me interested. Luckily.
Yeah, especially at the end of Act 3, after the end of Act 3.
Then it gets really, really...
You get really into the cutscenes. I mean, Act 4, there's a lot of gameplay in Act 4.
Yeah, I think Act 4 was more gameplay heavy.
Yeah, Act 4 was definitely more gameplay, but Act 3 and Act 5 were pretty much all cinematics. At least to me. I mean, we'll get more to that when we get to the spoiler section, but I don't want to start going down that route yet.
Did you already mention how the characters have the best textures I've ever seen ever in a video game, ever in the history of
the characters?
I can remember one example in particular. And when I saw Otacon's 5 o'clock shadow, on a close up, I was like, damn, that's impressive.
Pretty impressive.
Or even the clothes, the leather and stuff, and everything just looks so real and so
and the way that the clothing is in the wind and stuff like that.
Yeah, and people say I've heard people mention how it has a very kind of shiny look to the characters, whatever, but that's kind of always been Metal Gear's kind of thing. It's they're always wearing the type leather stuff, the stuff that's kind of can be shiny. They didn't have to do that. I mean, I don't think they did that to cover up anything, but it looks gorgeous. It's just so clear and crisp, and I was blown away by that. I was very impressed. That actually looked like the trailer they showed 3 years ago.
Character models, no doubt, better than anything I've seen.
Oh yeah.
Hands period. Down.
Even hair and stuff. And,
Yeah, absolutely. The way they did
hair was kind of iffy for me close up, but that's an
depends on which character you're looking at.
It's a that's true. Like you see when the character would smile or something, you actually see the wrinkles form on the side of their cheek and stuff. That was just awesome.
That's true.
And I loved how well they did the lip syncing.
Yeah,
because it was almost identical to what you would expect. I mean, if you turn the volume down, if you were a lip reader, you could probably pick it up.
Yeah. And this is the first one that was basically designed with the American audience first, though, right? Because isn't the Japanese version the one that's actually getting dubbed?
I don't know. I think
because if you played the other Metal Gears, they're definitely, you can tell there's some out of syncness, but I think it's due to the dubbing in English.
I honestly think that they did localization for that.
For really?
I don't know for sure, but it'd be interesting to go out and find a video of the Japanese one.
That would be,
from the Japanese one. We should do that. I'll do that. I'll take on that responsibility.
<'Cause it's
laughs> because I'm
flawless.
The one who said it. So, but I would not be surprised if it's actually localized.
That'd be
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing, this is not really a complaint, just more of a, this is, first of all, the most linear Metal Gear Solid there's ever been.
Think so?
Oh, no doubt about it. There's zero backtracking whatsoever in the entire game.
Oh, that's
all
true.
All the levels
yeah.
are A to B, and that's it. And it's the only Metal Gear that jumps around that actually has levels.
Yeah.
Besides portable ops, like our axe. Like Metal Gear 1 was just in Shadow Moses, and you had to run back and forth to different areas in Shadow Moses, and you're in one kind of confined area, and then there's the shell and the ship, and it's 2, and you're in the jungle in 3. And this was, you know, I don't want to, well, later we'll explain where you are in each act, but every act is a different place.
I wouldn't use the word linear so much as there's just less backtracking, I guess, because there were certain objectives that you had to go through in each of the games, and I don't think that's ever changed. That's semantics, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think the big thing about this one that I notice is that it's along the same situation as it's not really that it's the linear. It's just it's the first one where it's like you actually have
there's a huge distinction
missions.
Between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like when you did the Shadow Moses one, when you did Metal Gear 1, it was like that entire game was pretty much one big mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one is like, it literally it's almost like five distinct separate missions that all have a similar like ending. It's like find liquid, you know, and that's the way it is with all of them. Whether you do or not, that's a different story, but yeah. Good stuff.
True that. Yeah, just something I noticed. It wasn't like, it's not a deal breaker for most people or anything like that. I thought it was the most is A to B. Like, I don't know.
Interesting to note. Yeah. And it brought up the point that, you know, all the levels are very different, which is cool.
Oh,
yeah. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Real quick off topic, I want to apologize if you guys hear my dogs barking. They're very energetic today. So,
let's see. What else do we need to cover before we move to spoiler mode?
What should we say now? Whether we thought, should we go into what we think where the game ranks overall in terms of all gaming right now, or should we do it at the end of the feature?
I say go ahead and do it now.
Because most people are going to skip us. A lot of people will skip the next part because of spoilers.
I think we do it now, and then if they want to be like, what, that guy's crazy, then they'll have to listen to the rest of it and decide why we're crazy.
Okay.
So you want to do where it ranks in gaming or where it ranks in Metal Gear?
Just what do you think?
Both?
Like, do you agree? Because most of the emails, okay. Apparently someone's dropping a bunch of bottles out back.
So let's answer our own question. What did you think of Metal Gear?
Yeah, basically, what do we think overall of Metal Gear Solid 4?
Right.
I want to go last.
Oh, you do?
I want Chris to go first.
I'll go first. Right. As for a pure game itself, I would say this definitely has a spot in my top five. But I have to figure out where. That's the thing. All the games in my top five are games that I've played multiple times. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually on my second go through for Metal Gear Solid 4, and I'm currently about to start Act 4. So I want to wait until I get through the game again before I decide where exactly it goes, because I'm noticing a lot of things different my second time through. I'm like linking stuff back to things I heard on the ending that I had forgotten and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I would definitely put this as the best Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but this one makes me want to go back and play the rest. When I played part two, it didn't give me that feeling to go back and play part one. When I played part three, it didn't really give me that feeling to want to go back and play part one or two. But now that I've played four and gone through it, I really want to play all of them.
Play that, yeah.
So I would actually say that this is the best Metal Gear.
Quick interjection. You're playing through a second time. I just started playing through a second time as well. You know how you're supposed to... Do you keep everything? Because I noticed I didn't have anything that I ended with the first playthrough.
You know why? Because you probably didn't load from your ending file.
Well, there's two parts, actually. You have to actually get up to the point where you find the Mark II Metal Gear.
Oh, right. Yeah, you have to get the Mark II. But you also have to start the game with your end file, with your game end file.
Oh, so you should actually go to load game, not start new game then.
Exactly. Game. You go to load game, and then after you load that file, it'll ask you what difficulty level you want to be on.
Yep.
Okay. So. Cool. All
right. Cool. Jason, well, go.
My overview, as it were, I don't know that it takes over my favorite Metal Gear. You know, I cannot deny the gameplay improvements. I can't deny the cinematics and how beautiful, gorgeous this game is, and what an achievement it is.
Pretty.
But I don't think it struck me in the heart as much as like the first one did. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we have these new bosses like the B&Bs or whatever, which were pretty cool, but they were just kind of nods and throwbacks to the ones in Metal Gear Solid, which I don't know. On one hand, it's fan service. On the other hand, it might be a cop out, and because of that, they didn't stick out as much to me. They weren't as memorable to me. There's huge epic sweeping moments in the storyline, but it was all like kind of filling in gaps, as it were. So it was nothing new that was revealed, I guess, to me. Anyway, it never felt like
it was. Yeah, it was kind of like they totally took an approach to this game as if people who were picking it up never played the other games.
Kind of,
They really explain, like, you people out there who haven't played 1, 2, or 3, you really don't need to play 1, 2, or 3 because they do such a good job explaining what happened in the other games, and it's kind of like just driven into your face throughout the game.
Kind of.
So, no worries there.
Which is exactly the reason why I want to go back and play the other ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. But yeah, overall, I can't say that it's my favorite. I mean, gameplay, hands down, it's the best, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And there's so many additional features to this one, like Metal Gear Online, you know, that'll always keep me coming back. Well, not always, but there's lots of replayability in this as well, you know, getting different ranks, you know, you can go through and get the, you know, the bandana and whatnot. So the replayability factor is really high. So I like that. Gameplay and everything, hands down, the best, but it's not going to hold a large chunk of my heart. Sad, like the first sad one. To say. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Cool. I'm kind of in the same boat as Chris, I think. It's definitely the best looking console game ever released so far. And it actually might be my favorite console game, period, this generation. Same thing. I think the reason why I wanted to go and play it right away, and the reason why I keep thinking I'm definitely going to play through this 2 or 3 times, I don't know right now, like I'm with Chris, I want to wait till I play through it another time. I'm not sure if that's because that I like the game that much, or that there's not enough gameplay there to get repetitive, like fast enough for the entire game. Like I wanted to keep playing the game, like I said, about the whole cutscene thing, but how long is the actual game if you cut out all the cutscenes? Whereas a normal game is like 10, 11 hours, but you're playing the game for, I'd say probably about at least 9 hours of those are solid gameplay if you're playing like an action game. So at that point, you're like, hey, I know what this game's about. I got my fix of this type of gameplay. I won't come back to this game for a couple months or whatnot. Because like God of War is my favorite game of all time right now. And even that game, when I beat it, I wasn't like, hey, I got to go start right away. I was just like, oh, it's an awesome, amazing game. I'll come back to it eventually. But with Metal Gear, I start off right away. And I think that right now, my initial impression is I think it's just because the amount of gameplay that was in the game didn't satisfy my craving for what it was trying to do, just because the gameplay wasn't long enough. That's what I think right now. Whatever.
Okay.
I will
tell you this, as far as like the gameplay aspect of it, one of the emblems that you get, I'm pretty sure, is beat the game in less than 5 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am.
That's crazy.
So, I'm sure
that's
that there's
like all of them, though.
You probably have to do a major speed run to do it.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. I think that, you know, if you're taking your time and you're doing it the right way, you know, I'm pretty sure that you get the probably 8-9 hours of gameplay out of it. But for 5 hours, you probably have to just run and gun the whole damn thing and just kill everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's why it's hard for me to judge whether or not it's where it is in the other games in terms of comparison of like gameplay to cinematic ratio, because it might be a little tad too much leaning towards cinematics. That's why I think that I want to just play more, just because I crave more of it, and that's why I want to play the other games again. Mm-hmm. That and storyline reasons as well. As good as the cinematics were, there's a few that really, really stand out. Like these are really badass. But there's something about some of the cinematics, mainly in the first game, that just kind of were, I'm not sure if it's just because it's nostalgia talking or whatnot, that just stuck in my head as being like awesome. And I didn't feel like there was something the equivalent of, like, say, the scene in one where Meryl gets shot like 5 times by the sniper rifle, right. Sniper wolf, and you got to go out and got to be safer. I didn't find there's any really moments like that in 4 yet.
I'm gonna stop you there. I found those moments in some of the cutscenes, like the in-game moments where you're actually playing.
Okay.
And we'll get more into that later.
You'll get more of that later. Yeah,
there's probably 2 or 3 that were just like, fuck, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm playing it right now.
Yeah. Oh, I have an idea of, I think, where you know what you're talking about. But yeah, okay. So I'm kind of stuck between like a rock and a hard place. I think it's like the best game this generation, overall. Like pretty easy to say that. I won't say it's light years ahead of the competition. I'd set a lot of bars, set a lot of standards. Yeah. But yeah, I can easily say it's definitely great game. I don't know where I'd put it in the series. I think it's definitely better than, well, I guess 2 and 3. I don't know about 1, but it's that. I don't know. It's going to take a while. It's going to take another couple playthroughs. But the fact that I'm going to play through another couple times says a shitload.
Yeah, so, I think so too.
I love
and
it overall.
I think a lot of people are going to be in the same situation as Jason, where it's like, I don't know which one is better, 1 or 4. And I think a lot of it is going to end up, at least it seems like a lot of it is because it's not as new now as it was then.
Yes.
You know, and because Metal Gear Solid 1 was, I mean, it's, you could almost go as far as to say it was an evolution in gaming. I mean, it was something that no one had ever seen, you know, ever. Done in that the cinematics, you know, graphically at the time, it was fantastic. I mean, everything about the game, it's everything we're saying right now about Metal Gear Solid 4, we would have said then about Metal Gear Solid 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gave me the same feeling too, playing 4. Like I've been saying that in the forums and stuff, that I got that feeling of like being a gamer again. Like I was addicted to this game. Like that's all I could think about every day until I beat the game. And I beat it in, I think, 3 sittings. And it wasn't because it was too short. I think it took me 19 and change hours to beat it. So it wasn't like super short. And then just that I loved it so much, I just couldn't stop playing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that good. And if you have a PS3 out there, people, and you don't have this, you should just take back your PS3. And stop gaming.
You don't deserve to play.
If you own a PS3, there is no reason you should not have this game. None.
Yeah.
I mean this game has...
The MGS franchise, the whole series, is kind of acquired taste, but the technical achievement alone, man.
It's the biggest niche game ever.
This is definitely something to check out.
Yeah,
this is the game that everyone's been waiting for PS3. This is like the game that's going to sell a crap load of systems. This is the game
that's already started.
This is the game that when your friend comes over as a 360 says,
"Oh,
Gears of War is like the best looking game ever," and you're like, "You know what? Finally, I'm going to be able to throw in a game on my PS3, and they're actually going to look at it, and they're literally, it's going to be hard for them to say to either still go with the original opinion, which would just be wrong, or say like, "Holy crap, that's impressive."
You know, if they're already 360 fanboys, they're going to be like, "Why are his butt cheeks so well defined?"
Honestly, I mean, I didn't see any of the texture issues that you were talking about, Jeff. But
I saw a lot of backgrounds.
Did you?
That's about it. Yeah.
I didn't even notice because I was so enthralled by like just the foliage and the game itself and just how well defined everything was. The one thing I did notice is that the shadows were not very good.
They were grainy.
Yeah, they were very they were very Mass Effect-ish.
Yes,
not nearly
very much so.
Not nearly as bad as Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. But they were Mass Effect-ish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of those, because, I mean, we had that, Jason, there's a thread on GLF right now that's like, well, now that Metal Gear is out, which looks better, Uncharted or Metal Gear? Yeah. And my thought was, well, from an artistic standpoint, I still think
Uncharted
looks better. But from a technical standpoint, Metal Gear Solid looks better, definitely.
Hands down.
But on a technical level, that is one thing that Uncharted does better than Metal Gear is the shadows.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that it does better, and you're saying that it looks better than Metal Gear Solid? Come on, Chris.
From an artistic standpoint.
From an artistic standpoint? Ah, mm-hmm. Ouch. Okay.
Of course, I did say that while I was still on Act 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now that I think about it, and you go back and you think about Act 2 and all the foliage and everything, it's kind of hard to say.
Oh, the foliage looks great, and it all moves when your player, like Snake, you're going through the grass. Everything, each blade of grass moves, so which is awesome. And I think, I'm not saying the background textures are bad. I don't want people are going to get the wrong idea. Next thing you know, on the forums, oh my god, with just on crack, he thinks backgrounds suck. I'm not saying that, just because the characters are so well done, so crisp and clear, it just makes the little things just kind of pop out more. Like, I don't know. Just watch the first intro movie again. When you see those rocks and the birds like that, this rock's going to look kind of off. But it's just because the things that are actually moving look so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still the best looking game overall, for sure.
Absolutely.
I think so.
And if someone tries to argue out with them, just punch them in the face. Tell them they don't deserve it. You have
our permission to.
Take their game systems and throw them out the window because they don't deserve to be.
Exactly.
No, I definitely think that this is, you know, the best looking console game, period.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Hands down.
So, and Kojima got his wish. He wanted 1 million copies on day one, and that's what they got.
Mm.
Yeah, they got like 1.2 or 1.3 million sold on day one.
Cool.
Yeah. With the first week, which was, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I guess they call it,
yeah,
or Saturday,
I guess,
Sunday.
Yeah.
It was close to 1.5 million worldwide, I think.
It was a lot.
And Japan sold like 80,000 systems in 1 week.
Yeah, they did.
In that just 1 week. It's like, holy crap. And usually, you know, for people that are like, well, that's not that much. Usually in Japan, the PS3 sells like 10,000 to 12,000. Mm-hmm. And it sold 80,000 in 1 week. So I thought that was impressive.
I still think they're on crack for not buying more. That's like their game.
Yeah,
it's Metal Gear. It's like I expect it did well in relation to how it's been doing lately, but I think it would have done better if, say, the Wii and DS didn't exist. I'll just throw that out there. If people in Japan still like games, it would have sold a lot more. I'm gonna shut up now before
get a letter bomb. You can send your hate mail to Jeff at interactivedistractions.com. That's Geoff, G-E-O-F-F. All right, cool. Anything else we want to touch on before we move into the meat?
Well,
the spoilers.
I went into this game being extremely critical and trying to be picky, and I couldn't really find anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that was terrible. I mean, I think
no, nothing was terrible.
No, absolutely nothing was terrible.
I'm a picky motherfucker sometimes, and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And as I said, the only thing that I could find that was even off a bit was those shadows. And even, I mean, those still don't look bad, you know, it's just, and it's only when you get close up to them that you can tell, but there's some aliasing on the shadows and it's not a big deal. I mean,
it just stands out because these shadows,
everything
are on
else
these
looks
perfect,
so good.
Friggin' smooth textures that are just unbelievable. That's why they stand out.
All right, listeners, sorry for the interruption, but we ended up talking a little too long on the whole Metal Gear Solid 4 thing, so we decided to break it up into two shows. The non-spoiler version that you just heard, and a completely spoilerific episode. Call it a mini-episode. Or a bonus episode. Either way, more Indus for your buck. And I return you to your regularly scheduled Indus program. Thanks. Have a good night.
We have talked for way too long.
Yeah, this is ridiculously long. And the sad part is there's a bunch of stuff I wanted to touch on that we didn't even bring up or mention. So enough about that.
Yeah. Let's just keep on keeping on, though.
Well, I can go down new releases really, really fast because there's nothing interesting coming out.
Yeah, just name them. Just be like, here's what's coming out.
For the Wii, Alone in the Dark, Top Spin 3, Wally, Big Beach Sports, Guitar Hero, Aerosmith. For the DS, American Girl, Kit Mystery Challenge, Top Spin 3, Mega Man Star Force 2, and there's two different versions of that game, Zerker X, Saran, and Ninja, My Weight Loss Coach, nice, Gourmet Chef, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2, that's something kind of cool, Wally, Midnight Play Pack, Code Lyoko, Cake Mania 2, highlight of this week, Smart Kids Game Club, close second, 360, Top Spin 3, Alone in the Dark, Battlefield Bad Company, Supreme Commander, Command & Conquer 3, Hail to the Chimp, Wally, Hellboy, Operation Darkness, and Guitar Hero Aerosmith, PS3, Top Spin 3, Hail to the Chimp, Wally, Hellboy, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, and Overlord, PS2, Alone in the Dark, Wally, and Guitar Hero. PSP, Wally, Hellboy, Naruto, Ultimate Ninja, Heroes 2, The Phantom Fortress. So that's it. That was the really long release list in like less than 60 seconds.
Awesome.
Emails.
Let's do it.
We're like in fast forward mode now. Okay, this is going to be a pain in the ass to edit, jackasses. All right, emails. All right, this email is from Ace is High, and Ace is High writes, he says, well, with the talk about a game backlog a couple of weeks back, I was wondering if any of the Indus crew has a movie backlog.
I have not seen Iron Man.
Bastard.
Oh, what the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know. That's all I'm going to say. I have not seen Iron Man.
I have a ton in my backlog. I don't know if I can name them right now because it's something that's I can't think under pressure, damn it.
Well, I know that I have. I know my favorite movie of all time is Blade Runner, and I bought the collector's edition, or I got the collector's edition over Christmas, and I still have not watched all of the special features. That's like real high on my backlog list. That and all the like the Blu-ray on Metal Gear Solid 4. Other than that, I usually watch stuff right away. I've either anything I own, I've either seen already, or I watch right away. So I don't have much of a backlog.
Yeah. Me too. Like all the movies I buy, like I don't have any movies I haven't watched yet that I own or anything. But there's a lot of movies that I want to see that I haven't been able to get to. Like I still want to see There Will Be Blood, and there's another really big name movie that I want to see so bad that I haven't seen, been able to see yet. Keep putting it off.
Incredible Hulk.
But nothing that
Speed
I own.
Racer.
Speed Racer's awesome.
Yeah, rent it.
All right. You just want me to go on to the next one, don't you?
Yep.
Why is my stuff going down? There we go. All right, next email is from Diz, and Dizzy says, I'm all muddled up with my days and dates, damn hay fever meds. Also, I am so, so sick of Phantasy Star. Apparently, we have to stop talking about that. All right, on to his questions. Question number one, who first discovered cow's milk is drinkable, or a chicken's egg, for that matter? And what time is it in space? And the French? Why?
I have nothing to say.
Yeah, dude, you got us so late at night, and we've been talking for 3 hours. I can't even think of anything clever or retarded to say.
What time is it?
If you want to know what time it is in space, go figure out how star dates work in Star Trek.
Yeah. That's the proper geeky response, also known as the less funny one. Okay, all right.
What's that? Oh,
the French? Why? But you got a lot of like French up in that Canada place, don't you?
Up in the Canadian place, yeah. There's a couple more east. That's more of an eastern Canada thing. That's like Quebec, and there's a lot of French in New Brunswick.
Can you explain them to us? Because we have no idea.
No.
All right.
They're just French Canadians, I guess. They're just they're all right. But there's a difference between French Canadians and then the actual French, which that would be like France.
Gotcha.
Not saying, I don't want to offend anyone.
Cool.
We love everybody in Canada.
Do you think anybody's actually listening anymore at this point? I mean,
I hope not. I really hope not.
All right, that's all I got for emails, kids.
All righty.
All right, question of the week next week. First, let's mention, I hope people are still listening because this is going to be a kind of cool announcement. Question of the week next week is online versus print. Where do you get your news or information, basically? And to help us talk about this, next week we are actually going to have none other than Trickman Terry and Ken Sushi X on the show to talk about this feature. So send in the answer to the question of the week or send in questions for Terry and Ken if you have them. Again, the question of the week is online versus print. Where do you get your info? Right. Send in the answers to email at interactivedistractions.com. Or you can use the voicemail line, 818-528-GAME, 818-528-4263. Long-distance charges apply. Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions at gmail.com. Get us on Warcock Wednesdays, which should be back to normal now that MGS is beaten.
Correct.
And don't forget to find us on VG Evo. And I think I got everything.
Cool. Oh, also stay tuned after the show. We're going to be playing a track from our dear friend Ricky Duty and his band called Liquor. It's actually really good, and I'm not just doing it because he's a friend. I actually really like the track. But you can find them at myspace.com/WeAreLiquor. Liquor is LICKER. Think of something naughty, and there you go, and not something
sexual innuendo.
We've had a few of those this show.
Indeed.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, cool. Thank you to those who are still listening. If we haven't already figured out another way to do this, and it's actually 3 hours long.
Sorry.
Next week, I promise it'll be shorter. So thank you for listening. And for all of us here at Interactive Distractions, have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bedtime.
Bedtime is a good time.
Hey guys, thanks for coming out on this Tuesday. I'm sure you all work tomorrow. I can sympathize. This guy's got to be at work at 3 a.m. So, hey, we got a website if you want to check us out online. It's www.myspace.com/weareliquor. So why don't you make your way over there and get licked? Patent pending.
At least, at least, at least.